Hello and welcome to our first ever podcast. My name is Nicole Vanderhoeven. I'm 32. I live in the Netherlands with my husband, Rob.
And I'm Robert Vanderhoeven, Nicole's husband, and I turn 60 next month in March.
I think it's like in a week and a half now.
Yeah, and for those that have got their calculators out, it's a 28-year age gap. We've been together 12 years.
Yeah, we're the odd couple, but it works.
Yeah.
I've always really loved it. Well, actually, we haven't always loved to travel. I have, but when we first met, I don't know, you hadn't really traveled that much. When we started traveling to Asia, because I'm from the Philippines, Rob came to meet my family there. And I have a brother and his family who live in Singapore. So I guess we just sort of started there through the necessities of like meeting family. And we discovered we really love it.
Yep.
And I think that nothing really tests your relationship like travel. Because there's just so many decisions to make that it's easy to, you know, get upset with each other. But it's also, traveling together makes it really worthwhile. The way that we like to travel is very slowly. Up until recently, we didn't really have a choice on that. We were both working 9-to-5 jobs, more like 8-to-6, taking into account the commute, probably a little bit more. And we only had 4 weeks of holiday a year. Recently, last August, we decided to move to the Netherlands and make travel more of a priority. So I'm still working, but I have a location-independent job, which means I can pretty much work from anywhere where I have a decent internet connection. And my hours are very flexible, which means I'm not stuck to a particular schedule, which is really conducive for traveling.
Which meant that I had to make the ultimate sacrifice and decide to retire at 59 to be 60.
I'm so sorry.
Because there was no point in me working full-time. With Nikki being location independent, we can actually go away. Currently, we're putting this podcast together in Gdansk, in Poland, and Nikki's still working during the week. But we couldn't do that if I had a full time job.
Yeah, for sure.
So it was very noble of me to give up my career,
which meant the end of it. Exactly the word I would think of. but we already have a YouTube channel where we post somewhat regular vlogs about our travels. It's called Lucky Dip on YouTube. And we just thought that we should have a podcast to go into more detail about each location. Because we don't always want a camera in our faces when we're out and about. We don't explain everything. But, you know, I think it would be useful for other people if you intend to go somewhere to have, like, a bunch of different places, like the top places to go to in mind, and just general observations about the place, practical things.
We really just want you to enjoy what we enjoyed.
So our first country that we want to talk about, at least, is Slovenia. The reason that we went to Slovenia is really because it was cheap. We originally wanted to go to Norway in December, but it was just ridiculously expensive over Christmas. I had a look to see where we could go from the Netherlands that was relatively cheap, and Slovenia was that. We had never... Before we went, we didn't know anything about Slovenia. Well, I don't know if you did, but I knew next to nothing. I barely knew it was a country.
And the capital, Ljubljana, I didn't even know existed.
We didn't even know how to pronounce it. I mean, it's got a lot of L's and J's in it. And yeah, it took a while. But it turned out...
Nobi is in the as, you know.
But it turned out to be, I think, the best... Well... Aside from emotional things like going to Australia to meet you for the first time, or you going to the Philippines to meet my family and moving to the Netherlands, this was the best, like, real vacation that I can remember. It probably still is.
Slovenia is bordered by Hungary, Croatia, Italy, Austria, and the Adriatic Sea. A bit of its background, its history, it was part of the Roman Empire, the Habsburg Empire, Yugoslavia, and became independent in 1991. It was the first formally communist country to join the EU.
So we also want to talk about transportation because that's probably the first thing that you're going to want to know about coming from the airport. We actually took a bus. I think you can also take a taxi. We're not really sure how much that costs now, but the bus was €4.10 per person. So it was really easy. If I remember correctly, it was right outside the terminal for the airport. And online it said that it was like one per hour or one every 40 minutes, but we missed that bus. We still got on a bus pretty much immediately. We barely waited.
But it was the better part of an hour trip.
No, I mean,
I'm just saying to get in from the airport into the city.
Yeah.
It was a better part of an hour. It wasn't a particularly pleasant trip. It was quite windy.
Yes. And it's a bus, so it's like, it's pretty bouncy, but I would still just take the bus rather than take a taxi because it's quite far away.
Yep.
It would probably be way too expensive for that. So we took the bus, to and from the airport. And we also actually did something we've never done on our trips before. We actually rented a car. The car was €149.91 for 3 days, and that included, did that include petrol? No, we had to pay for petrol separately, but it did include a €30 fee for crossing an international border, which we didn't actually end up doing, but we had intentions of doing it at the beginning. And we booked it with... I think it was Avis, and that was at the Grand Hotel Union business.
Now, when we returned the car back at the Grand Union Hotel, that was horrendous.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about how we actually rented it to begin with. They said that we didn't need an international driver's permit, and that was good because I lost Rob's.
Misplaced.
Misplaced Rob's. We've since found it. And he only had his Australian driver's license. And they said that that was fine because it was in English, so it didn't need a translation. I've read conflicting reports online. Some people say that the car rental places never enforce it because it's not a legal requirement for them. But that if you do something wrong or for some reason the police pull you over, that they will actually ask for your international driver's permit. So, you know, for the sake of like 40 Australian dollars or something, I would just get it. Just so you have peace of mind that you're not going to be fined, you know, a ridiculous fee if you are pulled over for some reason and you don't have a permit. The road conditions were pretty good, I thought, in Slovenia.
Yep.
Rob would know better because he did all the driving.
No, I was quite happy, quite comfortable driving there. It was fine.
They do drive on the right side of the road.
No, that's the wrong side of the road.
But Rob got used to it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And everything is well signed. No problems really with that. No potholes or anything. Slovenian drivers, what do you think?
Oh, I thought they were good. They weren't rude.
Yeah.
They seemed to follow the rules.
Yeah. But as Rob alluded to, returning the car and parking it back in Ljubljana City can be a real pain.
Yeah. Now, in our case, when we returned the car, there was a problem with a tourist bus, which actually blocked the entrance into the Grand Union Hotel. So, and it's a very small little laneway to get there, and it was just blocked out. And it took an hour and a half. It took us a lot of angst before we handed the car back.
We probably stayed for like 40 minutes on that one street, barely moving more than a few inches.
We were not happy campers.
Yeah, and it was like 8 p.m. or something. So we were tired. you know, we'd just been away. Yeah, it was just not pleasant. So just be aware of that and probably go a little bit earlier or a bit later to avoid the hassle. Okay, so we also want to talk about the money. The currency in Slovenia is the euro, which is really convenient, so you don't have to be changing currency. And they also, I also found that they accepted credit cards and debit cards pretty much everywhere. American Express was less widely accepted, but we didn't have any issues with our MasterCard and Visas. There were still some stalls. We went there during the Christmas season, and so they had a lot of Christmas markets on. So some of those stalls did not accept cards and only accepted cash. Which is understandable. But some of them actually did. And there were also some brick-and-mortar restaurants outside of Ljubljana, the major city, that didn't accept cards, but no issues really. There's also no need to tip. Tipping is, you know, always appreciated, but it's not expected like it would be in the States.
We had an Airbnb in the center of Ljubljana, which is 120 euro a night. Now, it was right in the center of Ljubljana.
Yeah.
I still think it was expensive, given the cost of the everything else in Ljubljana. The overall cost of living in Ljubljana was cheaper than the Netherlands.
Yeah.
So, which is, you know, probably two-thirds. It was probably two-thirds the price of the Netherlands and Australia. It's not cheap, not Asia cheap, but it was good value. But yeah. I do think the accommodation was a bit on the high side.
Yeah, but we probably could have chosen something a little bit farther out. We didn't. From our Airbnb, you'd go down, walk maybe a block, and you're already right in the middle of everything. We were maybe a 3-minute walk to Prešeren Square. We probably could have saved money on that, but overall, it was the location that really made it for us. And it was really nice to be able to just, you know, go out into the city and then pop back into our Airbnb and go back out later again, you know, which we may not have done if we were a bit farther out. The food was also really good. Pretty much there was a restaurant at every budget level, I think.
Yeah.
So we had Christmas dinner there, and that was 95 euros for two people. But that was
top class.
Yeah, that was like gourmet style. It was, we'll get into the food a bit later in detail. But yeah, that was very high end and excellent quality food.
It is not something we would normally spend, but it was Christmas.
Yeah. On the other end of the spectrum, there was also Burek. They have this particular burek place in Ljubljana, and I'm not sure, do you remember exactly how much it was? I thought it was about 3 euro a burek.
No, 2.50.
Okay, 2.50 for one burek. And at first, we looked at it and we bought like two each because we thought, you know, it wasn't going to be that filling. We were wrong. It's deceptively filling. One is more than enough for one person. For a full meal, by the way. Like, that's a lot. I think it could easily... And we both eat a lot, too. So I think that could easily feed a normal person. That's really cheap. On average, though, it was about 21 euro for two people. That was for, you know, a nice sit-down restaurant.
Yeah.
So we thought that was pretty reasonable. We never had any issues with safety in Slovenia in general. I mean, I'm sure that pickpockets exist, but it certainly didn't feel like...
Well, I think it's with any country, with any city, yeah, there's going to be pickpockets. But I felt very safe.
Yeah.
Very safe.
There were actually a few times where I realized I'd stupidly left my bag unzipped and I'd been walking around the city for hours And, you know, I had my wallet in there and my phone, my camera, and nothing got stolen. So I really felt safe and I had no issues walking around. A few times I did actually go wandering off on my own at night without Rob, and I had no issues. Not once did I feel like, you know, people were, I don't know, going to mug me or, or anything.
And in Ljubljana, in particular, the level of English is excellent.
Yes. They do speak Slovenian, but their English was really, really, really good. There's the odd person who doesn't speak English for sure, but they're also really nice about it. You know, they're not angry if you don't know Slovenian. They will still try and help you. But for the most part, especially the younger people, but even some of the older ones, could really speak English to very high levels.
Ljubljana is built on the Ljubljanica.
Ljubljanica River.
That one, next to marshlands. One of the major bridges there is the Dragon Bridge, and it's based on the St. George and the Dragon legend, about St. George slaying the dragon. They do say that the dragons will flap their wings if a virgin happens to cross the river, but apparently it doesn't happen yet. It's a pedestrian city, so that's really nice. So there aren't any cars, etc. They don't have the trams, buses anymore either. That's all been stopped, which is really good.
And one of our favorite things to do there, one of the first things we did there, was to go to the Ljubljana Castle. So we actually paid 24 euros for two people, and that included the ride on the funicular, the castle entrance fee, and the audio guide. So I'm unsure about this because it's actually free to enter. So you could, instead of taking the funicular, you could have walked, you could have hiked up the side of the mountain for free through the park, which also sounded nice. And you could have also gone into the castle. You just couldn't have gone into the tower to actually see the really great views. And of course, you couldn't go into the museums there. I'm not sure if I would recommend that you pay.
The view's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess it's up to you whether you do or not. But we did, and I think it was pretty
good. We also had a nighttime view.
Yes.
Which was glorious.
We saw, because the castle is perched on this hill overlooking Ljubljana, and so we saw everything. And because it was Christmas, everything was all lit up. There was also a church inside the castle where there was a guy writing names in calligraphy for a donation. He was really nice, and he even taught me some Slovenian. One of our favorite things about Ljubljana, about Slovenia in general, was the food. We were really surprised at how good the food is in Slovenia. I mean, I had no idea what Slovenian food was like, but now we know. It has a lot of influences from Italy, which is also another great food destination. And its proximity to a whole bunch of different countries and cuisines really shows through in the food. So we started off with a food tour. We actually paid 80 euro per person.
80 euro?
Yeah, but it was so worth it. Food tours are like, you know, a historical tour and snacks. Well, not just snacks, meals at the same time.
Initially, Nikki told me that she'd booked an 80 euro per person food tour. I nearly choked.
Yeah.
But I've got to say, it was worth every penny.
So some of the highlights from that tour were the Druga Violina restaurant, where we had žlikrofi. And incidentally, that restaurant also, I think, predominantly hires people with disabilities. So it could be physical or mental.
Down syndrome.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
So it's also really a really nice way to give back.
I love going there.
Yeah.
We actually went back outside of the tour later.
Yeah. And then another place is Club Asarna. You'll probably see it if you walk around Ljubljana because it has this big plastic thing over in front of the shop of this sausage. That was also good. There's only one kind of sausage you can order there. And the horseradish was amazing. The Rimca restaurant is worth going to. That is just underneath the Tromstovia Bridge, the triple bridge on Prešeren Square. And I really enjoyed the Adriatic squids there and the sardines with garlic sauce. And the other thing that we also really enjoyed is the gelato. Rob, over to you.
Yeah, I'm the ice cream man. Absolutely loved it. It was so many different flavors and so creamy and so flavorsome. Really tasty.
Yeah.
You can't have enough gelato.
Even I like them.
Yeah. And the cacao, is that pronounced? The Greek yogurt gelato was well, that was just
that was
amazing. That was amazing. That was really amazing.
Yeah.
I had done a variety of different ones, from mango to tiramisu.
They were all good.
Yeah, the vanilla, even plain vanilla was excellent, with vanilla bean paste as opposed to a vanilla essence.
Yeah, we had gelato in a few places, but I think cacao was our favorite.
Yeah. And
Vigo was also good. Yeah. My favorite place in Ljubljana for eating, though, is a place called Špajza. This is the place that we went to for our Christmas dinner, and I had probably the best meal of my entire life there. I can't stress enough how good this was.
Špajza, you say? Who picked that?
Špajza. Rob picked it, and I had octopus with truffle mashed potatoes. And the thing was, that meal, that one dish, was €20. I would have paid more than that. It was just amazing. And totally worth the black teeth that I got from it.
That was hilarious.
It does have like a sister restaurant called Sorbara Steakhouse. It was good, but I mean, we're Australians.
I thought it was disappointing.
it was disappointing. Yeah, it was about the same price as Špajza. I would just go to Špajza.
Yeah,
I'd skip that. Vino and Ribe was also a great place for calamari, but they don't sell anything other than seafood.
Now, I'm not much of a seafood eater. I eat very little of it. But I actually did enjoy the piece or two of calamari there. And I had the fish and chips.
Yeah.
And the fish was quite mild, which is really nice. And the chips were nice and crunchy. So, yeah, I enjoyed it.
So some other things that we did in Ljubljana were going around the Christmas markets. They have markets by the river all year round, and like with fresh produce and that kind of thing. But this time of the year, in December, they also had Christmas markets on, and it was great just to walk around, really. They also had a lot of parades. Apparently, Dedek Mraz, which is Grandfather Frost for them, is a big part of their celebration of Christmas.
And they hand lollies out by the handful.
Yeah, so that was fun as well. Okay, so one of the other things that we did was we did a tour with Slovenia Explorer. That's the name of the company. And the tour that we did is called Slovenia in One Day Tour. We're going to link to it in the description, but obviously they're not paying us to say this. We just really liked it. So it was €238, and it included going to the Postojna Caves, Predjama Castle, and Lake Bled. And that also included all of the transportation. I would really recommend it because we saw so much that day, and everything was perfectly timed. Our guide knew exactly where to go, where to park. It was just nice not to have to worry about that.
But the two things, the 238 was for both of us.
Yes, that's right.
And the second thing that was an absolute bonus for us, we were the only two on the tour. It just so happened. So we actually had a private tour.
Yeah.
It was just us. And what was the lady's name?
Sando.
Yeah, she was absolutely lovely.
Sandro. Yeah. Anyway. So we started off with the Postojna Caves. They're the biggest commercial caves in Europe. Just to give you an idea, they're 24 kilometers long and they're 3 million years old. So they're formed from the river seeping into the porous limestone and then creating stalactites and stalagmites. It was a very touristy place. Despite the fact that there really weren't many tourists in Slovenia at that time, there were still a lot of people at Postojna Caves. There was also something I've never seen before. There was actually a small train, like an open-air kind of train, that took you from the entrance right into the heart of the cave. So it skips a lot of walking. And it's also, it was a bit like a Disneyland ride.
Yeah.
It was amazing. What we did was the 5 kilometer walk. And because it was Christmas there, they actually had nativity scenes, like little lights and statues on some of the caves. And they had several caves that formed galleries. There was one that was called the Spaghetti Gallery, which was most memorable for me because all of the stalactites were tiny strings of spaghetti. It was just formed in a different way to the rest of the cave.
We also saw the human fish salamander. Really, it's they talk about it as if it was some sort of wonderful huge thing, but it's actually like about a 6-inch salamander lizard. And it can survive for 10 years without food, and because it basically doesn't move. It slows down its heartbeat to about twice per minute. It was quite an interesting thing to see. It reminded me, it was almost like a plant, an animal plant, because it really, when we saw it, it really didn't move. It was really weird.
What do you think of Postoyna caves?
Really like the Postoyna caves. The other thing that they do apparently during the year at different times, they'll have a philharmonic orchestra. Come there. They sometimes will sing opera in there in different things. It was a, as you said, not too similar to a Disney feel. So it was touristy. I personally liked it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought the touristy type things were quite novel.
It was really good. And each cave that you went into had different lights, and sometimes it had some music there. It had like lullabies in that white cave. It was really well done.
And they were saying it's only at Christmas time that they have coloured lights in there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So there's because the rest of the year they want to minimise any impact on any sort of animal life, insects, the salamanders, whatever. But at Christmas time they have some nativity scenes and they have some different coloured lights, which really augment what you're seeing.
So the next place that we went to was Pradyama Castle. This was our second stop on the tour, which is a castle that you really need to see. There are a lot of castles in Europe, but this one is just picturesque. It is built on the side of a mountain, basically. It's built inside a mountain. And the story goes that there was a guy who was a prisoner in the castle in Ljubljana. He escaped that dungeon and fled to Pradyama Castle. He had connections with whoever was living there. The army that followed him tried to starve him out, but what they didn't know was there were actually tunnels in the surrounding, connecting to the surrounding mountains, so he never did starve. It is more spectacular outside than inside, because inside there's no heating and it's a most uncomfortable castle ever. But Rob really liked that.
That's what I like about it, because you see it on TV, Errol Flynn and the Pirates of the Caribbean, they're all running around the place in and out of castles and darting with their swords here and there. It's not like that. This is actually, it's not been modernized, it's not been updated. This is actually how it is. And the walls from the mountain of dripping water, it's damn cold, not comfortable at all. And I really like the authenticity of it. We went to Lake Bled, which is in the Julian Alps. And I've got to say, Lake Bled is just...
it's not in the Julian Alps.
Well, in the background is the Julian Alps, but it's in the vicinity of it. It's probably fed by the rainwater and the glacier water from the Alps.
Yeah.
It is a very, very picturesque place, Lake Bled. Very, very touristy, but absolutely beautiful. And the water is crystal clear.
This was the third stop in our Slovenia in one day tour. And this is pretty much the iconic spot in Slovenia. Like, if you have time in Slovenia to go outside of Ljubljana, it's probably going to be to Lake Bled. And there's a reason for that, because it's super picturesque. So you're standing there by the edge of the lake. There's an island right in the middle with a church on it. And in the distance, you can see the Bled Castle on top of a hill and the Julian Alps in the background. So all that makes certain that it's the most touristed spot, I think.
And when we went to the island, you go on like a gondola.
Yeah, it was like a traditional flat oar paddle.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So it was nice. The tour included the paddle boat to the island, which is good because I heard it was like 10 euro. Well, that's not worth it.
Yeah.
But it was just all included in the trip, in the tour. Also, the church on the island was not really worth going to. There wasn't really much to do there, and the views from the island aren't that great. I think it would be better to have a view of the island from the other side of it.
And the piece of cake that we bought on the island was
the petitsa.
Was not nice.
So they say that you must get a petitsa there. Don't. It's very dry. Our guide from the tour took us to the Bled Castle, and she timed it perfectly for sunset, which I would totally recommend. I have never seen a sunset as beautiful as that one that I saw. What do you think?
I would agree until we went to Bohin.
Oh, okay. Well, that's another story.
The view from that castle overlooking the lake was magnificent.
Yeah.
Magnificent.
The museum was not really worth much. The castle entrance was paid for as part of the tour. It was all-inclusive, including the entrance to Pradyama and Postojna. It was really well worth it. The museum wasn't worth much, but I would go for the views, and you have to have the Bled cake. It's like this custard thing with cream. It's also creme chenita. It's called creme chenita. And we loved this area so much, we later went back to Lake Bled to have creme chenita again, and also what they call the world's best gelato, which was really good and really different. I'd probably still like the Greek yogurt better.
Lake Bohin?
Yeah, so the other lake that we went to...
Now, we didn't do this on a tour. This is part of when we were driving with the car.
Yeah.
It's about another 30 minutes by car from Lake Bled.
Yes.
And I thoroughly recommend that you do it. The drive itself, we did it too late in the evening. It was quite a narrow road in good condition, but it also had been snowing, and you know, you get traffic the other side coming the other way, and it's a little hairy. I really didn't see much of the countryside because I was just too focused on driving.
Yeah, I would definitely go there earlier or plan to stay in that area.
To stay there night would have been great.
Yeah. So we both really like Lake Bohin. It's smaller. And, I mean, when you think about it, it's probably not as impressive as Lake Bled. But we got there and everything was snowy. The lake, the surface of the lake was like a mirror, so it was reflecting the snow-covered mountains. The sun was just setting.
Yeah.
It was just the most magical moment.
Yeah. And we were only there probably for an hour.
Yeah, we really didn't have enough time.
We had to head back, but it was just magnificent. It was out of this world, but the pictures we took there were just amazing.
And yet they're still not, they just don't capture that moment.
Yeah.
When you look at the picture, it's just like, oh, that's pretty, you know. But it was amazing there. I would definitely, definitely recommend that you go to Lake Bohin. Probably if you could only go to one, I'd probably still say Bled because it's just picture perfect and Bohin is harder to get to.
And you can walk around the lake, Lake Bled.
Yeah.
We didn't do that, but we'll walk around a little bit. But
there's pretty much nothing to do around Lake Bohin.
No, it's just a beautiful place.
Yeah. And the drive there is also really nice. I wasn't driving, so I actually got to look out the window. And it was just winding past mountains, and especially in the winter, it was just beautiful. So we also went to another cave, well, a system of caves. The first one we went to was Postojna. That was part of the tour. We also drove on our own as, you know, just as individuals to Shkotsian Caves or Shkotsianske Yame. These are a UNESCO World Heritage system of caves due to the biodiversity of the species that are there. I personally liked it a lot better because whereas Postojna was touristed and, you know, well-lit paths and very wide paths and no danger of falling and, you know, all that is really nice, but it is a little bit tame. The Shkotsian caves were really raw. I mean, there's a tourist path. It's not like you're spelunking or anything, but it is a lot closer to what it was like for the original explorer. So there's a path and it's lit and it's safe, but there are some parts where, yeah, you could, you know, it is very physically strenuous for one thing. I would definitely not recommend it for anyone who has any sorts of issues with stairs, because it was 600 steps up and 3 kilometers of quite steep ramps, including and not including the steps leading up to ground level after you get out of the caves. So you get into the cave, and the first cave that you get into is the quiet cave. And it is very still. Like, you kind of hear little water droplets in the background, and you do sort of get dripped on.
And they tell you not to say anything.
Yeah. Well, you kind of feel like you shouldn't. But the second one is called the noisy cave.
So they ask you to make a lot of noise.
Well, you kind of have to, because there's the river Reka running through it underneath you. And it is really, it's a really strong river. It goes from Slovenia, I think, to Italy, past a bit of Croatia and Italy. And it is roaring. The noisy cave is the biggest underground cave in Europe. So just imagine 200 meters from the floor to the ceiling. So the tourist paths are all lit, and they're, when you look at them, they're zigzagging in front of you, and it just looks, it looks picture perfect, except that you can't actually take pictures in here, which was really hard for me because everything was just so nice. It was so photogenic. There was one particularly exciting part where you have to cross a bridge with the river roaring beneath you, and you're very high up and you're very conscious of that fact. But it is absolutely an experience that I would recommend to everyone.
For me, because it was UNESCO World Heritage, that's basically run by public servants. If you pass windy, they give you a plastic bag to put it into. You can't take pictures. Yeah. I just think it was a bit over the top, some of the restrictions.
That's true.
The river Reka was phenomenal. That was the highlight of the cave for me.
Yes.
And it was cool. There were two things. The river was amazing. When you look down, you just see how fast, and the volume. They were saying that when they actually get a rains, it can rise 40, 50 meters within that cave. That was outstanding, I thought. And the other thing that I really did like about it was you can see the old path cut into the mountain wall where the original explorers used to go, where the original tourists were taken. And I've got to tell you, you couldn't use it today because you'd be sued. People fall and die. But it's really interesting that you can see on the other side. You don't get that close to it, but you can see it must have been quite hairy for the original people going through that cave.
Yeah. We did the shorter tour. We didn't actually have a choice. There is a longer one that I think is 9 kilometers or something like that. And it takes you down by the river, like actually on the same level as the river. Unfortunately, you can't do that during the winter because of the increased risk of flooding. And in fact, they have had the whole cave flooded at several points in the past.
And they're huge caves.
Yeah, 200 meters. Yeah. I mean, to fill that, it's crazy. But the interesting thing is, these are actually underground caves. It doesn't seem like it, but yeah, it's 200 meters underground. So when you think about it that way, it's no wonder it does flood. The lunch at the cafe there was also really nice. I had grilled calamari as usual. But you should do yourself a favor and go to the viewpoint after. Well, you can do it before as well. It's only like maybe a kilometer hike up.
200-300 meters.
Okay. Well, we didn't go the whole way.
No, there was another one, yeah.
Yeah. We only went to the first viewpoint. But even that was already amazing because it gives you a view of the entire cave system.
Well, I must say that just the last thing, when we had lunch at a cafe, I'd just like to point out that I was pleasantly surprised at the prices. They're very reasonable. You'd expect it to really rip you off there, but they didn't.
And it was food, good quality.
Good quality and good quantity. So I was quite impressed with that part of it.
There.
Piranhas on the Slovenian coastline, and we actually rented a car, hired a car so we could go there. That was the main objective or purpose of hiring the car. And it was about an hour and a half's drive, I think, from Ljubljana. And quite a pleasant drive. It wasn't particularly taxing. And it was, most of it was freeway. And I still don't know exactly what the freeway limit is, but yes, it's 120, 130k. They were just whipping past me. I was doing 100, 110. So that was interesting. When you get into Paran, because it is like a traffic-free, well, it's not quite traffic-free because they do have the buses going in and out, and obviously locals that live there can take the car in and out, but for everyone else, you have to park outside of the city. So that was quite interesting. We parked outside the city we directed, and then the hotel we were staying at had a shuttle or a car can pick us up and take us into the hotel.
Well, actually, one of the things that I read was that it's a lot easier if you book a hotel rather than an Airbnb, because otherwise you would just not know where to park. So what we did was we booked with Hotel Piran, which we thought was reasonable. We drove into the city, parked outside Hotel Piran, checked in, and then they got their driver to drive us back to show us the way to the parking lot, and then take us back into the hotel, into the city. So we just thought it was easier. I mean, you could probably get by without it, but it just adds a little bit of convenience.
Rain for the first 2 days we were there, and it was sunny on the last. Now, having said that, it wasn't unpleasant. I mean, yes, it was wet because it's rain, but it wasn't like it was that freezing cold or anything. And it didn't stop us getting out doing things.
Yeah, and one of the favorite things that we did there, which we actually haven't seen before, is the scavenger hunt. So they have a citywide scavenger hunt, which basically is just a piece of paper with like clues. I think it was like 9 clues or something.
And you get it from the Tourist Information Center.
Yes, that's important. And you just check it off. Sometimes they'll have questions like, how many strings are on the stringed instrument of this statue on this square? You know, and it just took us to a bunch of places that we probably never would have stumbled into on our own.
So, we used Google to find some of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think you're meant to. So we saw a lot of squares for markets, which unfortunately weren't open in the winter. We also saw a monastery. The church was really good. We unfortunately couldn't climb all the way up to the top of the lighthouse, but there were still great views from the St. George's Church, so we were okay with that. My favorite of the scavenger hunt was the city walls. In Piran, they have these old Byzantine walls which face the Adriatic Sea, Piran, and Italy. Like, you can see the hills, the rolling hills of Italy.
And Croatia.
You can see Croatia as well. So I think it was €1 per person.
€1. But I think you need to have loose change for that, didn't you?
Yes, you need it in coins. Yeah. And it was also a challenging, like, 20-minute hike. Again, don't attempt it if you have any issues with steep roads or stairs. In general, I thought Piran was definitely worth going to. It was very different from Slovenia, and it's probably closer to what Croatia's like.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed Piran. We actually only were going to go for the one day, stay the one night. We ended up staying two.
Yeah, we stayed 3 days.
3 days, 2 nights.
Three days, 2 nights, yeah. It's just a really charming seaside town. There isn't much to do, but it has a lot of great food. Our favorite restaurant there was a place called Pirat, which really doesn't look like anything flash from
it's
the
like
outside.
It's like a cafeteria, really, when you look at it.
But it was amazing. Great seafood. You definitely have to have seafood. The service was great. Yeah. And the beer was good, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely recommended. Yeah. We tried another restaurant there.
Upmarket. Didn't like it. Service was crap.
Yeah. And the food was better at Piran.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
Plus, it's a cool name.
Yeah. Nikki, let's cover what our favorite things were and perhaps the highlights in that of our trip.
Okay.
So, you and I both like to eat. What was your favorite food?
I think I've already spoiled this one, but it was the octopus with truffle mashed potatoes from Speise. I had just never seen anything like it. I've never tasted anything like it. It was just perfection from start to finish. I'd go back there again anytime.
And you had the additional bonus of black teeth at the end of it. And black
yes. Nips.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. He took pictures of it.
For me, gelato at Cacao.
Cacao.
Yeah, that was just amazing gelato. Yeah. I actually got the three flavors each time we went, so I don't get one scoop; I get three different scoops.
So you tried like six there.
Yeah,
or
yeah. I really enjoyed it. That was mine.
Yeah. Okay. Favorite activity of the trip?
For me, the food tour.
Really?
Yes, and I know. I didn't like to spend the money on it, but I really enjoyed the food tour.
So that means I was
right. And for you?
Scotian caves. I know you're not that keen on it, but I will never forget that day. It's just something about the grandeur of the caves and feeling like, okay, I know there's plenty of people who've been there before me, but it didn't kind of have that undiscovered kind of vibe, and it wasn't touristy at all. It was a lot more raw. It was just a great experience, and it really left me in awe of just nature in general. What do you wish you'd known before going to Slovenia?
Well, it's not actually before going to Slovenia, but I think it's in general. I wish I'd known more about the car we hired. Now, as an example, I didn't understand with the rules that you're meant to drive all the time with the lights on. We didn't know how to turn on the lights. Yeah. Nikki had to get on the internet, actually search for the car we were driving, because they gave me no instruction whatsoever. Mind you, the man that handed the car over to us, his English was appalling. It was really poor. But that was quite dangerous, because I'm driving not knowing that the lights had to be on. And as it got darker, I had no idea how to turn them on. So you had to go sort that out. I had no idea about what is the speed limit.
Yeah, you still do.
I still don't. I sort of did what everyone else did, but a bit less, you know. So if everyone else was driving at 130, I did 110. And if everyone kept overtaking me, I sort of crept it up a little bit. So from my point of view, I think if you're going to drive, you need to know a little bit about the car that you're driving. You need to know a little bit about the rules.
Yeah, and like the driver's permit too.
Yeah, and also when we decided that we would go to Lake Bohin, that road coming back, that was a pretty hairy drive coming back at that time of the night. Not just because of the snow, and then it rained, and then the demister. Where the hell was the demister? Took us out. Had to work that out.
Yeah.
Cruise control.
But the things that now we know to ask for next time we rent a car.
Yeah.
Mine is actually also driving related. I would say don't drive back to Ljubljana at 7 p.m. I know that it was the fault of this one tourist bus that backed up in the wrong spot, but I would just save yourself the trouble. If you intend to do the same thing, either plan to come back early in the morning or like late at night when there's just fewer places, fewer people on the road. I just would save yourself that whole hassle. That was probably the worst part of the trip for me, and it's not the fault of the car company at all. It's just an unfortunate occurrence, but it was still.
But it was poorly managed by the hotel.
Yeah.
Because they kept saying, come in, come out, come in, come out, reverse, go back. And that was even more frustrating.
Yeah.
So they didn't handle it well there. That wasn't the car company. What else do you want to go back to see?
I heard about the Vršič Pass, and we were not sure if it was open in the winter, and we just ran out of time. But I would definitely want to go back and see that. Apparently, it's just a driving route, really, but it takes you through some of the most beautiful scenery in Slovenia. And I really wish that we had time to go back and do that. By the way, when we went to Slovenia, we intended to, because we were there for two and a half weeks, so quite a long time for such a small country. And we intended to go to Croatia and Italy. We didn't end up doing either of those because there was so much to see.
And so much more to see.
Yeah. What would you?
I'd like to go back to Lake Bohin. I'd like to go in spring because I think the mountain flowers and that would just be gorgeous up there. Yeah. I'd like to do a little hiking up there.
Yeah. In general, I really, really, really enjoy Slovenia. I feel like as a country, it really punches above its weight.
And the people were delightful. Seriously, yeah. They were friendly, they were open. The fact we didn't speak Slovenian didn't deter anyone. Or in the city, they spoke excellent English.
Yeah.
And you, because you like languages, you tried conversing and learning new words, and they were happy to share that with you.
Yeah.
Very lovely place. Really, really enjoyed it.
So it's a beautiful place. You've got mountains. You've got a coast. You've got these caves.
Yeah.
The people are nice. The food is amazing. It's a lot cheaper. Things are generally a lot cheaper than, you know, Western Europe. It's just got everything, and we still didn't even see some of Eastern Slovenia, like Maribor.
Yeah.
We're definitely going back to see that next time. But yes, in general, thoroughly recommended for me. Yeah. What about you?
Two thumbs up. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed listening to our experiences and views and things that we did while in Slovenia.
Hope we catch you next time on the next episode of The Lucky Dip. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.